Welcome to End Time Talk Radio, where the truth is usually stranger than fiction. The purpose of these shows are not to scare you, but to prepare you, because what you don't know could hurt you. The word says in Hosea 4:6, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." Thank you for joining us. My name is Julie, and here is the host of the show, Barry Meyer.
Today on End Time Talk Radio, we have a great conference call. Now we have Augusto Perez, his website, theparents.com, Rob Skiba, seedtheseries.com, and Jim Williamson, echoesofenoch.com. Now, if you don't know how to spell those, you can go to our ministry link and you can actually click on those and actually find their websites on there. Now, today is September 20th, 2011. And there are some major things that are happening in the world that you, the audience, needs to know what's going on. We're looking at the vote that's going on for the Palestinian. We're seeing that Guatemala had four major earthquakes today. I believe there's three people, could be more now. We're seeing a tsunami right now in Japan. 1.3 million people are being evacuated. So it goes on and on. And so tonight is going to be a very pivotal night. We have men of God that are going to speak what the Holy Spirit has in our hearts to say to the audience out there. Augusto, what do you have to say to the audience tonight?
Well, I want to greet the people that are listening tonight, and it's a pleasure to be with Jim and Ron and yourself in this program. There are so many things happening right now that it's even hard to choose any one topic, but we are in the midst right now of so many different things happening already. One of the questions that some people have asked me recently is, well, what is going to happen in the future? You know, what if something doesn't happen in the future? You know, blah, blah, blah. And what I tell them basically is, you don't have to worry about that because things are happening right now. We don't have to wait for the future. Things are happening even as we talk. And, for example, just to give a few things that have happened just in this last week, okay, not last month, not last year, this last week. We have found, for example, just in this last week, I was just going through the news, and, you know, I have been in a season of prayer, seeking the Lord. And when I finished that, I go and check the news and see what's happening. And one article I saw was snow falling in Colorado in the mountains. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I said, you got to be kidding me. Snow right now, it's not even fall yet, and we're getting snow. Earthquakes happening, hit Japan, 6.2. Cuba, mm-hmm. Cuba, I am from Cuba, and you don't get earthquakes 6.0 in Cuba. You get maybe three pointers, four, not six. Also, earthquakes in California, Birmingham, Alabama. Aftershocks after the earthquake in the Himalayan region of 6.9. This happened yesterday, and the aftershocks were 6.1, 5.3, which led to some people to, you know, maybe think that this earthquake was somewhat bigger for those big aftershocks. 300 earthquakes taking place just in Alaska, 4.0 or less, and 400 earthquakes taking place in California and Nevada, up 4.0 or less. This is just this past week. I mean, another one, I mean, it goes on and on. I'm just skimming through the top. On September 6th, an earthquake 6.6 hit Sumatra, Indonesia. Mm-hmm. Japan has had 500 earthquakes since Fukushima, okay? The earthquake and the tsunami that killed 20,000 people. So all these things are happening right now. Meteor strikes across Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, California. Five volcanoes in Indonesia on red alert right now. Mm. And then the one thing that a lot of people, you know, maybe overlook, but it's in the news. But we don't hear it on the 6 o'clock news, which is this. It's a very interesting piece of data. Since 2006, there has only been two, okay, X-class solar flares. Now, watch this. Since September 6th, that's just a few days ago, there has been three X-flare I mean, X-class solar flares. So these things are not normal. We are getting a lot of abnormal activity throughout the Earth right now. The president is going to be in Denver, Colorado on September 27th. Mm-hmm. The whole staff, okay, the whole top staff of NASA is going to be there in Denver, Colorado, doing some kind of expo in a museum. Yep. For the remaining of September and October. Okay, now this is all wonderful, but what a coincidence that these people are going to be there at such a time as this, when so many people have been talking about possible events taking place during those times. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about, and I would like to hear what this other brethren have to say.
Yes, Jim, what do you have to, what's on your heart?
Well, you know, in conjunction with the meeting that's going to be in Denver, of course, we know, you know, there's an underground complex underneath Denver. And I don't know if you've ever been to Denver Airport and saw the weird artwork there. It's just, I mean, you know, I don't even have hair on my head anymore, but it makes everything else stand up on end. It's just, it's just a lot of weird stuff. But I don't think there's any coincidence that NASA's having this meeting. NASA's also sent out to all employees an urgency to be prepared for an emergency, preparedness for any emergency, potentially any emergency events. I noticed that, you know, on television we have Miyachi Kiku, the official poster child for, you know, astrophysicists, telling us, he kind of took over Carl Sagan's spot, I think, on being the official voice of science to tell us what to believe and what not to believe. But basically, you know, most of the time he's getting on air and he's saying that, you know, don't worry, everything's the same as it ever was. The animals falling out of the sky is just a normal kill off. You know, I'm sorry, but I had some biology in college, and, you know, I never, that wasn't taught to me. Mm-hmm. When the fish went belly up, it wasn't just because of polluted water. I mean, this was just not a kill off. This is something very abnormal and supernatural. So on one hand, they're telling us, don't worry, there's nothing there. But then all of a sudden, FEMA starts broadcasting emergency preparedness kits for everybody, you know, to just, I mean, I don't know about where you guys are at, but we have these commercials on all the time now, and it's from FEMA, and it's about, you know, preparing yourself in case of an emergency. Well, you're saying two different things out of the same mouth. You're telling us, don't worry, don't worry, everything's okay, it's the same as it ever was. But now you're saying, maybe you guys need to get ready just in case there's, you know, some problems. I mean, okay, the earthquakes are supposed to be normal. These are all normal, abnormal things that are happening. You know, there's 33 active volcanoes right now throughout the world. That's unprecedented. It's never happened before. You get all these other things too, like MUFON just announced the other day that in the last 6 weeks, there's been a double amount of UFO sightings nationwide. Every state has had almost double the normal amount that they would have for this period or this time. And it always goes in ebbs and flows anyway. There's a lot of different ideas about that. But this is just like suddenly unprecedented. All of a sudden, boom, they're everywhere, all over the place. Of course, the guy that wrote the article was from the Skeptical Inquirer, so you're not going to get too much objectivity from his perspective. But it's still, you know, it's there. There's so much going on. It's Comet Elanon or Brown Dwarf or whatever. It's like some of the stuff that's going on now, even within the Christian circuit, really is concerning me, because they're tying this in. Of course, you know, we have the Feast of the Harvest. Rob, help me out
trumpets.
On this one.
Yes, piece of trumpets.
Right.
Yeah,
thank
Rosh
you.
Hashanah. Yeah.
Yes. We have that coming up. Everybody's tying this in, you know, with Comet Elanon and everything. And I'm talking about other Christians, I think, with good intentions, because of some of the expectations they have. They're starting to sound like Harold Camping now. They're trying to say that, you know, within September, the trumpet's going to go, and we're all getting ready to go. And one place, I'm sure this man loves the Lord, and I'm sure that he, you know, has his beliefs, but he's trying to compare the movie Knowing and what was one of the other movies? Oh, The Day the Earth Stood Still, the newest one. And he was showing how, you know, and we all know this is true, that, you know, the New World Order, they like to put it right in your face. And so they got clues all throughout the movies. But the conclusions he's drawing was just horrific. he's drawing the fact that see these what the Hollywood's saying is they're aliens, they're actually angels, and this is the rapture, and it's going to be happening very soon, and they're just trying to let you. I'm going, no, man, no. This is not the rapture, and aliens are not angels. Angels are not aliens. Fallen angels are pretending to be aliens, but you know. Then, without mentioning a name, a very major, very public. I mean, this man has a television program on regular broadcast. He has millions of people that he's able to reach and speak to. He has he definitely loves the Lord. He's definitely a Christian, but he's being deceived. He hasn't done firsthand, I think, information on the whole UFO alien deception. And he just recently come out with a story that he had where a metallic UFO had pretty much saved his bacon as he was flying. And now he's attributing that these were probably angels of God. And he's saying that they were flying in a metallic aircraft. Hmm. And I'm going, oh, my goodness. Now, you know, I was hoping to maybe get a booklet that I have. I've got it posted. It's in my book, The Clouds of Heaven, What They Are and What They Aren't. And then the whole idea of where we're an earthbound technology came out to create an actual craft. But, I mean, to think and to be in a position that he's in and to think or even speculate that good angels are driving around in nut and bolt UFOs is part of the deception. This is the worst thought or seed that could ever be conveyed to the world. And he's doing it innocently. He just doesn't realize that there's scriptures that are explaining everything in detail. We don't have to be deceived, but that's a deception. There is nothing. Anything that's coming out of a nut and bolt UFO is a liar, a thief, a robber. And you're not going to hear him. You're not going to hear anything coming out of a UFO that's going to say, "Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a fellow servant, blah, blah, blah." No.
Amen to that, brother.
They're going to be talking about a cosmic Christ, an ascended master, a representative, an emissary from their planet or whatever, but they're not going to talk about the real Jesus. And so if anything is happening, I think, in September, it's not going to be a rapture. It's going to be what the Lord had given me a dream back in 1996 about a phony rapture.
Amen.
And I didn't understand it at the time, but it's taken me many, many years now to realize that what the Lord says is, Jim, you need to understand that everything is going to happen in the same but opposite. Everything that the Lord has done, Satan is going to imitate. So then as I did more studies and research and everything, I see a book by a famous New Ager, Peter Lemassieur, The Armageddon Script, and basically now representing the New Age movement, New World Order. He's saying that in order for a New World Order to be established, we're going to have to be able to fulfill the expectations of Christians. And so his Armageddon script is talking about how it would be possible using technology to be able to fake a phony second coming of Christ and thereby deceiving them into coming into a one world thing. Well, Jesus, I'm reminded that Jesus in Matthew 24, he said that this delusion or deception would come upon the earth. And if it were possible to deceive the very elect, well, that's a promise right there. We won't be deceived if we're following and listening to him. But the fact is, this is going to be so smooth and not so obvious and I think so real in your face that it's going to devastate people. Now, if the next thing most Christians are waiting for is to be pooped out of the sky, then if you could imagine that what happens is that New Agers are taken, mm-hmm. all of good works-based people from all different religions are taken, and Christians are left behind. Who? What does that say? They're going to be devastated. I think that's part of the big deception. And then a tribulation that's actually caused by fallen angel and man working together with probably blue beam and harp and all the other technologies. This might be what we're facing. But some of the other weird things, have you guys heard about everybody hearing sounds, strange sounds from inside the earth? Some of them hear it in the skies. But, well, you know, we have a chat room fellowship. It's more like a church and a Bible study online. And one of the people from North Carolina said they heard something like that. And then another one from Tennessee. And I'm going, wow, that's weird. I remembered the Taos hum in New Mexico, where a lot of people in Taos were hearing some kind of a resonating sound from under the ground. But that's all that I had ever heard about it. Well, I was online doing some research, and all of a sudden I saw a video about hearing sounds. So I clicked on it, and then I noticed the whole menu is filled with stuff. It almost reminded me when I was doing the research on the dead birds dropping from the sky, then finding out there's dead animals all over the world dropping out everywhere and dying in the sea and everything. So I'm looking, and these sounds are everywhere. So I started listening to all of them, and then it freaked me out. I heard a sound that I had heard just a week prior, and I thought, I live about a quarter of a mile away from a gravel pit. And I thought, well, you know, I got up, and my wife and I were both up, we were early risers anyway, and she was in her room on her computer, and I was in my room on my computer, and I'm hearing this boom, boom, boom,
yeah,
boom. And I'm going, hon, do you hear that? I mean, what in the heck are they doing working in the gravel pit at 4 o'clock in the morning? That's just, it's weird. They can't do that. They got zoning ordinances against that, you know? And I'm thinking, that's really strange. Well, I didn't think anything more of it other than the fact that it sounded almost like an oil rig where they're pounding pipe into the ground. Now, I used to work on an oil rig in New Mexico, so I kind of am familiar with that. But it sounded much deeper, much louder, and it had a lasting, like a resonance. It almost like went through the furniture, and you could feel it, you know, vibrating in your skin even. And I'm going, wow, this is not normal. Well, I never gave it a second thought because I was familiar with the other sound, and it was more like a drone noise. And when I heard just before the Colorado earthquake hit a couple weeks ago, that's a sound that almost everybody heard. And I'm going, that's pretty weird. So, yeah. I mean, you know, we've got things happening that have never happened before that have no actual explanation. And when you get like a convergence of all of this going on at the same time, it's got to make you wonder, something's around the corner.
Well, I have a theory about that, but I I'm going to let Ron talk first. But I want to get back to that point you made, Jim. You made a good point there. But
okay. I confess I've not been following the Elinen deal very much. Normally, that is something that I would be all over. that's the kind of topic that I would latch onto and be totally all over it. But this is just me talking. Anytime I have ever even remotely begun to investigate it, the Holy Spirit has withheld me. He's told me, don't worry about it. That's not where I want you. So I really don't know what it is or what's going to happen with it, though I do concur with Jim's assessment that the devil is a great counterfeiter. And he is going to counterfeit. If his past history is any indication of what he's going to do in the future, he's always counterfeited the things of God. So if he's counterfeited everything God's ever done in the past, I fully expect him to counterfeit everything God has yet to do on the prophetic table. So, you know, that being the case, I want to study to show myself to be approved. I want to know what the real deal is. You don't study counterfeits. You study the real deal so that you can identify the counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people aren't out there looking for all the counterfeits to study them. In the FBI, they take a $100 bill and they study it religiously so they know every detail of a real $100 bill so that when a fake one comes across their table, they can identify it. That being the case, God has had me focusing much more specifically on his calendar, on his timetable. Jim mentioned the feasts of God and a lot of people talking about it. I did see the video that I think Jim's referring to where this guy is claiming that Jesus is coming on Elinen and that's going to be the rapture. It's a crazy video. And the guy is very sincere. I think he's very sincerely wrong. But I don't believe that's the way Jesus is coming back. But the fact that it is lining up with some of these very significant feast days is definitely cause for alarm, in my opinion. I am certainly not going to jump in Harold Camping's camp and be a date setter, but I do believe God is working on a timetable. And what's interesting about that particular feast is it is known as the day that no man knows the day or the hour.
Mm.
It's specifically a two-day event that requires two witnesses to go out and look for the new moon, specifically at a certain angle in the sky above the Temple Mount. So it is throughout the centuries always been known as the feast or the day that no one knows the day or the hour. That being the case, we are called to know the signs. We are called to know the seasons. And I believe that we can know within a reasonable amount of time when some things are going to happen without knowing the exact date. That being said, if what I come to believe is true, that he will return on the feasts, We don't know if it's this year. We don't know if it's next year. We don't know what year it is. All we know is we're supposed to be aware of what takes place on the feast, because he fulfilled the seven feasts. He fulfilled the first three to a T. Jesus did. Absolutely fulfilled the first three to the T, and the Holy Spirit fulfilled the fourth one, Pentecost. So if those are any indicators, I believe he's going to continue along the same lines and follow. I believe it's a script. I've been in theater for many years, and we study a script. They have to know our lines, know our positions, have the props in place, and you have many rehearsals, and then you have a dress rehearsal, and then you have the curtain goes up, and there's an audience there, and it's the real deal. So the way I view it is that we are to be rehearsing these things, because one day the curtain's going to open and our master's coming back, and it's going to be the real deal. And I believe it's going to be following that script. So most of my efforts these days have been trying to understand God's timetable, trying to understand the feast, trying to understand how God has worked throughout the scriptures, so that I can identify the real deal and know the difference between that and the coming great deception, which I fully expect is going to have a lot to do with UFOs, aliens, the gods of the ancient world, and all of that stuff. And my entire journey that has led me to where I'm at right now really started, some of you have heard me tell this story before, but for the sake of this show, I'll just repeat a little bit of it. Started on December 21st, the winter solstice of 2010. My wife and I are late nighters, and we walked out at we usually go for walks late at night. We went outside at 2:22 in the morning on December 21st, 2010. I looked up and I saw a blood red lunar eclipse, blood red moon, floating like a decapitated head over the shoulders of Orion, which my resources led me to believe is just another incarnation or representation of Nimrod. But in any case, I looked up there and saw this thing for 72 minutes, which is a high occult number. 222 in the Central Standard Time is 322 Eastern Standard Time, and I was immediately brought to mind the Skull and Bone Society with their coveted skull on top of bones and the number 322. That was the initial seed that got me kind of started into all this research. And in the process of doing the research, we're talking about Yom Teruah, the Feast of Trumpets, and all that. Many people believe that's a celebration of Jesus' birthday. And there are a lot of videos and documentaries and things out there concerning 3 BC, specifically the date September 11th. Now, I've found in the software you could download for free on stellarium.org that allows you to track the movement of the stars and planets. I don't know if it's software glitch or what, but that software indicates the alignment everybody's talking about in 3 BC. It shows it in 2 BC. So just using that software, and I'm not saying that that's an authority, but from my research using that software, I saw that it looks like the alignment and the heavenly movement and everything that the Magi probably saw, I believe, took place in September 11th, 2 BC. If that's true, then it could be that our calendars are off by 2 years. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about December 21st, 2012. Well, I submit that an awful lot of stuff, very interesting things, began on September 21st, 2010, beginning with that 72-minute lunar eclipse, because it was right after that that all these fish and bird die-offs started. I mean, millions of fishes beaching themselves, hundreds of thousands of birds, and they're breed-specific, which is what really caught my attention. It wasn't like you saw a whole bunch of different fish. It was like carp, you know. It's like one breed of fish or one breed of bird dying off, and you know, these things are still happening. If you continue to do the research, it's still happening. It's just not being reported as much. Right. And then along with all that, we're talking about what's going on with the potential division of Israel and everything, which I think all of us agree is not a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go well for any nation that's involved with it. When I started looking at Obama, there are a lot of people out there claiming that he's the Antichrist. There's a lot of weirdness surrounding him, but I don't believe that he's the Antichrist. But some weird things started to happen right around 2008 when Anubis showed up in our country. Mm-hmm. This huge traveling statue of Anubis appeared in 2008, just before Obama was placed, elected into office. And then this thing started following him around, and it parked in Denver International Airport. In March of 2010, I believe it was, he took some statues in front of the equally pagan Statue of Liberty. Then this really pagan statue, who's the god of the underworld before Osiris took over, parks in Denver International Airport from June of 2010 until January of this year. So you got this god of the underworld who's in charge of the mummification and resurrection process. And then Obama gets elected. He goes to Norway for the Nobel Peace Prize, and this Norway spiral thing shows up, and it's the first of many. There have been several others, though not as widely reported. And then he goes to, in 2009, he also goes to Egypt, and the vendors in Egypt are making plaques that say Obama's a new Tutankhamun of the world. And so as soon as you start looking into Tutankhamun, his father, who's a weird character, he did away with all the old gods of Egypt and instituted a monotheistic worship of one god. But King Tut, his son, showed up, undid everything his father did, and reinstituted the worship of the old gods. So that makes me start to think, okay, if Obama's the new Tutankhamun of the world, and he's got Anubis following himself, following him around, he has his acceptance speech in front of the altar of Zeus, a replica of the altar of Zeus in Denver, Colorado. It's making me think that he may be the guy that ushers in the worship of the old gods. And, you know, I'm looking at all this stuff and going, whoa, you know, forget Ellen. And I mean, that's weird enough as it is, but there's a whole lot of weirdness going on out there. And so I've really become focused on trying to know the real so that when the deception comes, I'm not fooled. And as best as I can, I'm trying to tell everybody what I know or what I think I know, because I believe that's what we're called to do is, as watchmen, is to be able to identify the truth and be able to spot the deception and warn as many people as possible.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have some things I want to add to that that both of you said. Very, very interesting. This issue with Elanin, I have been following this for a while. And right now it's a hot topic. Everybody's talking about it. One thing I have come to believe, I have a friend of mine who is an amateur astronomer, and he lives in Texas. And he and I have been doing a lot of work together. You know, I'm praying. He's another man of God, and so he has the technological expertise. He has the software. He's got a telescope. He also bought some lenses to see through it. And I think that this issue with Elanin is very, very interesting. I have my doubts about the fact that it may be a comet, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, why I believe that it may not be a comet. I don't know if all of you have heard or read some of the material from Richard Hoagland, and I know he's a New Age guy.
Yes.
The man did work for NASA for some years, and this man is no idiot. He is very, very intelligent, highly intelligent, and he has issued some statements regarding this Elanin that I want to touch on because it's very interesting. I have read some of his papers on the conference they just had. I have read some. I have seen some of the videos he's put up. Of course, aware that this guy is kind of New Agey and inclined to that sort of thing, but I kind of pick the meat and spit out the bones, if you will. And some of the stuff that he has shared is very, very revealing. For example, one of the things that he shared was the fact that this comet was a hyperbolic comet. Okay?
Yes.
And the fact that it's a hyperbolic comet, he said, there has never been a hyperbolic comet ever in the history of astronomy. Well, that is a mouthful. You know, never ever in the history of astronomy has there been a hyperbolic comet. And he says that this thing, and he gave out a lot of information about a lot of numbers that I can't even get into, so complicated, that he says that this comet is not a random thing that is free-falling. In other words, he's basically saying that this object is very precise in its orbit. It has the shape of a pyramid, which is a tetrahedron, and it has been detected that because SOHO has taken some images of it as the solar flares hit it, and Lord and behold, there came this image of a tetrahedron, which he says looks like a force field, which is very weird. I mean, I have never heard of a comet that has a force field or the precise shape of a tetrahedron, which is a pyramid. So I started thinking about this whole mess, and you know, and of course we have all seen the dollar bill. In the back of the dollar bill, there is the pyramid, and then you have the you know, the capstone with the OCNI. Well, I have also done some research into that area and the mysteries of Babylon and the mysteries of the occult and the Mason mysteries and what have you. And this is a whole big ball of wax. This thing is huge. And I was also concerned when I heard that, you know, that commentary, that video on YouTube, and some other people saying things like, maybe this could be the rapture, because I have had some experiences with the Lord that He's shown me some things. I have a dear sister in the Lord in Georgia, just had a tremendous, powerful dream. She was doing fasting and praying, and she called me real excited. She said, "You won't believe what the Lord just showed me." And I said, "What? What was it?" And she says, "I saw what I thought was the coming of Jesus Christ. I saw the most beautiful being appear in the heavens. He was coming with such glory and such, you know, brightness." And she said, "I thought it was Him. I mean, He was the Lord." And then she said, "But there were these other angel-looking creatures around, and I thought there were angels coming with Him, but they just didn't look like holy angels, you know what I mean?" And all of a sudden, as I kept watching this, these angels that were surrounding this Jesus began to transform themselves into what looked like pigs, grotesque-looking creatures, like looked like pigs. And then she heard a voice from behind her say, "Many of my people will follow." And I believe that was a message from the Lord Almighty to her for the whole body of Christ, and other things that God has shown me, that I believe that we are going to experience what it is, and the Bible talks about it, and even Jesus Christ Himself, Yeshua, talked about it. In the whole chapter 24 of Matthew, He says four times, He says, "Let no man deceive you," to the question when His disciples came and asked Him, "When shall these things be?" And the coming of the end of the age. And I believe that there is a big, strong delusion which is about to hit the whole earth. We have been seeing little telltale signs, of course. We don't have time to get into all the details, but probably all of you have seen what happened in Israel last year in Jerusalem, that light that came and settled on top of the dome and then just took off. Well, I mean, this was confirmed. This was no, I mean, this thing could not be debunked. It was real. Several people took the same footage from different angles, and they all saw the same thing. They all captured the same thing. And there have been many things. There have been reports of some of these weird events taking place in the Gulf of Aden last year. You know, whirlpools appearing in the sea, and weird, strange sounds and signals being emitted from different places and from the pyramids. I mean, and many people say, "Well, I don't believe all that," and I would tend to agree with some of that, but the problem is that this is not one or two events. These are dozens, hundreds of events taking place through a period of time in the last few years. And so we are seeing something taking place in the spirit realm that we just do not understand. But when we look at the scriptures, we see that there is planned a deception. We know that Satan is he's the expert imitator. He will try to imitate the coming of the Lord before the real deal. And when I was listening to all this and reading all this stuff, this thing began to get in my spirit that this is it. This looks like this is going to be the big deception, the big delusion. the fact that this thing has a tetrahedron shape. Why did they put that, and we don't know this until it happens, of course. We're just speculating. But why did these people, the Masons, the Illuminati, why did they put that capstone on the back of the dollar bill with the old C&I on it? Now, of course, we all believe that old C&I is, you know, Satan or Horus or, you know, or Apollyon, whoever that is. But it is a demonic entity that is coming at the end of times. If we go through our Central America, I visited Mexico a few times. I visited the ruins there. And the Mayans are, they're expecting Quetzalcoatl. They're expecting the feathered serpent to return. If you go to other civilizations, they're expecting their god to return in the very near future. The Mayans are expecting it. The Hopis are expecting it. Many of these other cultures are expecting it. And so, and then the New Age are expecting it. The Muslims are expecting it. We know the Jews are expecting the return of Messiah, and of course the Christians are expecting the return of Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So we know that there is going to be an attempt at a massive delusion. And when I was listening to these comments by Richard Hoagland, I don't know why, but I just felt in my spirit that this could be it. This could be what they have been planning now for so long. And, of course, we have heard many other men of God, many other watchmen refer to the fact that 2012 could be the year that this thing could come down on 2012. Well, I was listening to this other guy recently. His name is Dr. Carl his last name is Kalaman. He's an expert on the Mayans, you know, and so forth. And what he said just floored me. He said that the Mayan calendar actually ends this year on October. I believe he said October 26, 2011, not in December 21st, 2012. And he proved it, you know, with all his mathematical calculations, what have you, and his philosophies, which, you know, I'm not even going to attempt to repeat here. But the fact that this seems to be a change now in the date where this thing could be ushered in, it just brings up all kinds of questions now. We have all kinds of questions now with the possibility of this object that many are saying is not a comet. Some are saying it's Nibiru. I don't believe it is Nibiru, because if it was Nibiru, we would already be upside down, how close this thing is. Some say it's shattered, fractured. It could be, maybe. But the fact is that there is something in that cluster that is still coming at us. And I believe behind that cluster, there is the big one. There is, of course, I believe, a massive object that is causing all of these things. These things are not being caused by Nibiru, by Elenin. These things are not being caused by random. These things are being caused by a massive object, a massive planet, a neutron star or a brown dwarf, whatever people want to call it, the destroyer, the wormwood, Nibiru, whatever. But this object is there, and we know that there's been effects on Saturn, on Jupiter, and some of these other planets. We know that they are heating up. We know that that there's something happening to the Earth. There's the electromagnetic waves are beginning to pound the Earth. I mean, there are so many. We are entering into an interstellar cloud, a photon cloud that is going to totally change planet Earth and our galaxy forever. That is not an if, that is not a but, that is a fact, scientifically proven, that this thing is happening, it's already begun. So we are entering into, like they used to say in Star Trek, a place where no one has gone before. No human being has ever been here, because the human civilization is, 6,000 years old. We are not too old. And this thing, the last time it happened, if I am correct, from what I've read, is 24,000 to 26,000 years. So we've never ever experienced anything like this, and I have some deep concerns for the people. What both of you fellow brethren shared was right on. I have a lot of concern that when this thing happens, there's going to be a lot of naive Christians out there mm-hmm. that are going to buy into this thing, line, hook, and sinker, and they are going to be deceived. And this is what the Lord has shown his people, that there's a big deception coming very, very close, very, very close. And those people that are listening to this, you need to be discerning. Be careful. Do not get into a UFO. Yeshua, Jesus Christ, is not coming in a UFO. He is coming in power and great glory on the clouds with of heaven. He is not coming in a UFO. So I totally agree with those comments that they both made, and I just wanted to share that aspect of it.
You know, if I can inject something in here. In 1996, this is when the Lord had first given me a dream, and it was in regards to UFOs. Now, I had already been ordained minister over 20 years in that time. And I actually gave my first sermon in 1978 on Genesis 6. But really, my understanding at that time was really infantile. I mean, I had three scriptures. I basically knew this, you know, it was a bad deal and not something good. But I always sensed that eventually the Lord was going to bring me into a deeper understanding of it. But I was too involved in a ministry that I was beginning there at that time, and I just sensed that this was for later. Well, 1996 was later, and I got a very intensive dream about the UFO thing, but it was during that year I had gotten laid off from a pretty high-paying job. I had enough money in the bank. I just took off the rest of the year and fasted and prayed and sought the Lord and let him speak. I had a prayer journal that I, you know, wrote things down, and one of the dreams that I had was seeing almost like in between time. It almost seemed like things were somewhat frozen, and maybe it was just for my benefit so I could gather in and take in what was going on around me. But what was happening was that there was massive UFO sightings. Some people only saw thundering and lightnings, and other people saw the actual UFOs. But it was an event where there were many people almost like in a trance state, and they were all going to certain locations and then being lifted up. And I heard a narrative voice behind me say, "This is not real. This isn't the real thing." And then I realized that they think they're going in a rapture. But yet they had to go to another location. It wasn't that they were just instantly taken. They had to go to a certain location in a ship and then be taken away. Some people saw it. Most people, this happened like almost in between time. So most people weren't even aware what happened. What the Lord laid on me at that time when I did pray, and it took actually a couple of years later to really fully understand what the Lord was trying to tell me. But during that time, what he was telling me was that this was the trigger event. When this happens, you are going to be very busy. And so are many others that I've called to understand these same things. So while some people are waiting for a disclosure, I've always been waiting for a phony rapture, New Age rapture. Now, never in the time of history since, you know, the last 15 years have I ever seen everything start to line up to see this. So, you know, I first shared this, and I've suffered a lot of ridicule for almost a decade. I first shared this when I spoke in 2004 in Roswell, New Mexico at the Ancient of Days conference. We had a roundtable discussion. Matter of fact, 2003, I was at a roundtable discussion with Richard Hoagland. So I do know him somewhat. I've met him several occasions. Being that I was a resident in Roswell, I got to pretty much meet everybody and anybody that's involved in, you know, the UFO community, secular and Christian, at least at that time. And it was filmed, but we had the roundtable discussion, and I went on film, and I'm kind of glad it happened then. I think I was being set up to be ridiculed, but it was brought up about, you know, my belief in a phony rapture. So I went ahead and explained it all. I'm glad that it was there because it's posted on YouTube in several different sites. But, you know, and I was just basically saying that, you know, that what the Lord had shown me was that there would be this phony rapture. Well, I'll tell you the crazy part of the whole thing, too. And it didn't make sense for a long time. It took me about 2 years later to understand it. In this crazy scene, the people that were being beamed up, it was like, I almost felt like it was in a Twilight episode. I'm sitting there trying to shake him. I'm trying to wake him up and say, "You can't go. You can't go." And then the narrative voice behind me said, "This is very dangerous. They're going to be eaten." Now, that was weird. That didn't make any sense to me. Well, somebody brought it up on purpose on film because they wanted to make me look like a buffoon, I guess. I don't know. But I just went with it. If the Lord tells me something, I'm going to stand on it. and I'll wait upon him. And if it was him, it's going to come to pass. But it wasn't until he started telling me, Jim, this is going to be in the same but opposite. Everything's going to be same but opposite.
Hmm.
So that you think about the real rapture, if whenever it does happen, what's the very next thing that we have? We go before the Lord and have the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's a reuniting. It's a festival. It's a time of, yep, you know, of a marriage. So what is it? What does Satan like to do the most? He likes to mock. Now, the people that would be taken in this rapture, the phony one, are probably going to be all your New Age leaders. Another researcher, we were kind of sharing some thoughts and ideas, and he said, Jim, it says that the kings of the earth are going to hide in the rocks and the clefts and the caves when this happens. I said, yeah, that's true. And we know that they're having an underground digging, you know, program that's been going on for decades. This isn't something that just happened suddenly, but it's been going on for years. So we know that underground complexes are there. And what he pointed out, he says, Jim, he says, now the rich elite are the ones that are planning to prepare to survive whatever this situation might be. He said, whether this comet Ellen and planet X or whatever is real or not, someone's trying to impress on everybody that there's imminent danger that we're all going to die. So he said, can you imagine if you're all the people that are good works based, whether it be in Mennonite, whether it be even homeschoolers, whether it be Buddhists in you know, who've isolated themselves and, you know, from society. He said, imagine every organization that is based on good works that have isolated themselves from the contaminations of society. So in other words, they've abstained from sex. They have no venereal disease or any other social diseases. They've abstained from drugs, so their blood and their bodies are fairly healthy. He said, if the rich elite are going to try to survive and endure this, they themselves are not going to work. They're going to find drones. They're going to find workers to assist them in this new age of survivability. He said, so they're going to want people that are clean forensically, because they're going to be shut up in caves for a certain amount of time. So he said, can you imagine if before this comet hits, when they impress upon the world the imminent danger, and everybody knows this, can you imagine if two people from, you know, wearing black suits, men in dark black or whatever, they come to your door and say, you and your family have been selected to survive. There's imminent danger. We want you on a certain day. We want you to pack up and go and leave and don't tell anyone else, or it's null and void. So I said, gosh, you know, that gives a whole new meaning to the scripture that says those that seek to save their lives shall lose it, and those that will lose their lives for my sake shall be saved. And he says, well, this could go hand in hand with the New Age removal. So it might be a two-stage event where at the same time you have some people that will be approached and that will disappear, and you'll have others, the New Agers, that are going to be taken. But Satan being the imitator and the mocker, some are going to be taken and made slaves in the underground bunkers or whatever this new world they think is going to be. The others, now I'm not, you know, we know that according to the Bible, whatever wormwood is wipes out one third of the life in the ocean and then on the earth. It's not a total life extinction event, but it's certainly not a good event. But the New Ages, when they're taken, instead of a marriage supper of what, the beast, they're going to be the feast of the beast, and they're on the menu. And I know that sounds really strange and weird, and I've been ridiculed for over 10 years about this. This is what the Lord told me. This is what's probably going to happen if there's a phony rapture. If people are taken, they're not taken out of the way for safety and brought back later. This is what the New Ages are expecting. They actually have a name for it. They call it Project Enoch. They think they're going to be taken away with spaceships and then brought back later after all of the geographical upheavals are done with. And so, of course, then we have the phony tribulation, and then we have a staged phony second coming where one size fits all. We have a so-called, for some people, they'll see it as an armada of spaceships and aliens that are coming, and the religious people like to call him God, but really they're our creators, and they're come back now to deliver us from the New World Order, to invite us into a new era of prosperity and intergalactic community. Others will see him as the 12th Amati. Others will see him as Vishnu. Others will see him as Maitreya. Others will see him as Jesus Christ or the promised Messiah. but it'll be a one-size-fits-all. Everybody will see all their expectations fulfilled in this one event, in this one situation. I just think that this might be where it ends up. But the trigger mechanism is going to be the idea of a pre-tribulation rapture, only this pre-tribulation rapture will not be Christians that are left, that are taken, but they'll be left behind. Can you imagine how devastating it's going to be to those people? They don't believe they're going to go through anything. They were supposed to be pooped away. All of a sudden, everybody with good works is taken, everybody that had the New Age belief. So in that event, the tables are turned completely. Good is bad, bad is good. The devil's biggest lie is that be good, be nice. If you're good enough, that'll outweigh the bad, and you'll make it. Or the idea that we, you know, through gnosis, through learning, through our own efforts, we can ascend into an avatarship, into an ascended master. So man becomes God instead of God becoming man to do what man couldn't do on his own. So it makes this lie become very tangible and very real. And when they land, of course, they're going to dispose of the so-called New World Order. Obama, unfortunately, may be the phony Antichrist who's going to be, you know, I wouldn't want to imagine what his future is going to be in that kind of a scenario. But then they'll offer new science, a new body, resurrected body that will never, you know, die or never suffer pain. And I think if you get duped and taken it, then 5 months later, you're going to seek death and can't find it. Gee, that's how that scripture might be fulfilled. So the mark may not be, I mean, we may have the RFID chip, but I don't think that's necessarily the mark. I think the whole emphasis on injections, there's several different ideas. You know, I think it's going to be a literal body like Avatar or surrogates, where it's something that they themselves have provided for themselves in their own self-redemption, and then they offer to all of us. And that, again, is a mockery of a resurrected Christ. He's the firstborn of many brethren. We're what follows. So they're going to show that they are the advanced, and we are what follows them in suit. So whether it be an injection that changes our DNA and structure and gives us this kind of an ability, whether it's a chip, whether it's an actual body, we don't know. We do know that we already have the technologies for any one of those three to be a reality. And that's, you know, I think that's the deception. But I think we may very well be. Now, it'll be interesting to see what kind of conversation we're going to be having in December. Either that or we're going to be too busy picking up the ashes and, you know, and putting the pieces together. If I'm right and this phony rapture happens, all of us that are called to be watchmen are going to be busier than we could ever imagine, because in that situation, all of the things that we have ever said are going to be totally debunked and will look like the enemy and look like demonic demons, or we are going to be validated finally. And a church that was not willing to listen before is going to be begging us to come to their fellowship, to their churches, to explain what the heck is going on.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Augustine. No, I'm done. That's good.
Well, let me throw this out there real quick, and I'll let you guys go on again. You know, one thing, my wife, she's a registered nurse, and she just got a notice at the hospital that everyone will be taking the flu shot. And if not, for religious or health reasons, according to the board, they'll look at that too. But if you don't take the flu shot, then consider your job, basically, you're done. And, you know, I'm hearing reports more and more. What are you guys hearing?
Well, the thing is this, from what I have found out, okay, and of course, you know, I cannot validate this 100%, cannot confirm it. But from what I have heard and from what I have read, there already is a company making these chips already. They have already $1 billion under the belt. Mm-hmm. They're on their second billion this year. They even have the mark already. I have seen the mark. And the mark looks like a sun. It's going to be it looks like a little sun with a lot of spikes coming off from it. And they have already made their treaties and their contracts with the major countries of the world right now, Central America, North America, Europe, Asia, China, Russia, and, you know, Australia, and so forth and so on. So this thing is already on the way. This thing is already on roller skates. I had two people that already have sent me dreams. You know, I have people send me dreams and visions all the time. And most of these people don't know. They haven't read these things that I have read. They don't have access to all this information. You know, they work all week long. You know, they come back home and they just, you know, take a shower and go to bed. I mean, that's what they do. They're not given to this ministry like we guys are. Mm-hmm. So they are having dreams and visions that they have never had before. People are having dreams and visions that they've never had before. And one of the dreams that I was sent just a few days ago was this man, he had a dream, and he basically saw the mark of the beast. Basically, he was being interrogated in a room, and his wife and child were in another room. He mentions that he was being threatened that his wife and child were going to be killed in the dream. And if he did not take the mark, he was being tortured to take the mark. He said he was being tortured in the biceps and the forearms. And anyways, when he saw the mark, he said it looked like a little sun with a lot of spikes going up. When I read that, I said, You got to be kidding me. This man doesn't know. He does not know that this is exactly the mark that is going to be on people's hand. And by the way, the name of the company, I might as well say it, is Mondex. Mm-hmm. And it's got, you probably all have heard about it, and the mark is going to be placed, the chip is going to be placed between the forefinger and the thumb, right there in the little fleshy part of the hand. And this thing is going to facilitate, and this is another area I want to warn the people about very strongly, because this thing is not going to be like people think. This is part of a strong delusion. I don't know if this is going to be brought in with a fake alien ship, with a fake alien UFO, which, you know, our big brothers are coming back to take us into the next level of evolution and what have you. And this thing might be the, you know, what they're going to attach as a bonus there, into godhood. It's going to be something that is going to bring us into godhood, and at the same time, it's going to be give us the ability to make our life much easier, you know, purchasing, buying, and selling. Another thing that I believe, and this has been revealed to many intercessors and men of God, is that this chip, this mark of the beast, is going to come with a bait. That bait is going to be basically debt. The dollar is going to collapse. Okay, that's a given. It's not if, it's when. The Lord gave me a dream back in the middle of the night, back in a couple of years ago. I literally saw this thing happened, and the word of the Lord came to me and basically told me straight out, this has only happened to me a handful of times, and this was one of those times. And this is what he said to me. He said, they have planned a super devaluation to bury the dollar. Well, I didn't know what a super devaluation was, so I had to check with somebody that knew something about it. So I asked the pastor I was staying with. I said, Could you hook me up with somebody that is an expert in the economy and knows what he's talking about? Because I have some questions here. So we had a meeting that morning with this brother, and I asked him, I said, what is a super devaluation? I shared with him the dream and the words of the Lord had given me. And he said, well, a super devaluation is, and then he said, what happened in Argentina? He said, that was a tremendous devaluation that took place there. And he explained to me what happened in Argentina, you know, some years ago. So I asked him again, is this what happened in Argentina? Is this a super devaluation? And then he looked at me kind of puzzled and said, well, maybe not. He said, super devaluation, he said, we would have to go back to what happened in Russia or maybe even Germany. He said, where their currency basically was worthless. And so I have been praying about this for a long while, and I believe with all of my heart that the economy is going to crash. The stock market is going to crash. Right now, Greece is teetering on the brink of a precipice and is threatening to bring the whole EU down with it. If the EU goes down with Greece, you better believe it's going to take the economy of this country down and the whole world. Well, when this thing happens, maybe, okay, and now I'm just speculating here, but maybe what if they say, let's say that this new age order comes in, the new world order comes in, let's say we get an invasion of spaceship, the elder brothers coming in to bring us into a higher level of consciousness, and the new evolution, and let's say that we are offered, okay, the whole humanity is offered a cancellation of all debt. All debts will be canceled, and everybody will be given a set of units, okay? No more currencies, no more dollars, no more yens, no more British pounds, just units. And everybody would be given a set amount of units, but there is a catch to this thing, and it is we have to keep tabs on everyone in the world, and you're going to have to take this mark, this chip, so we can, you know, keep this thing really organized. And this is going to be a chip, and it's going to probably have additional benefits. And we have heard about this from other brethren, other watchmen. It could be maybe give the people the ability to heal quicker, the ability to people to maybe live for a very long, long, long time and not die. It may give the people ability to become maybe a part human, part something else, hybrids, super intelligent, maybe speed up the ability to think, new organs. People, can you imagine people that are waiting for organs? They're going to want this chip right away. People that are dying, they're going to want this thing. People that they owe the government an arm and a leg, they are up to their eyeballs in debt, they're going to take this chip without even questioning it. And so this chip is also going to be it's going to be used as a method to ration food, ration water, ration resources. It's going to be the answer to everything. And if you think about it, it makes a whole world of sense. How else could they control and give out food and water without, at least having a system to control it, to monitor it? And this would be the perfect system, the mark of the beast. And, of course, the book of Revelation talks about it in chapter 13. The Apostle John spoke about it, in the pages of those of those scriptures. God showed him exactly what was going to be happening in the end of times, right before the return of the Lord. And these things, we are being set up for this thing right now. I believe the Antichrist is going to be, it's not going to be a human being. He is called the Beast. And I have done some little research on this, and whenever we read about beasts in the Bible, it's not talking about a human being. It's talking about something else. And this has been corroborated by people that have done studies on it, and tests are being conducted right now on the hybridization of human beings. So this is nothing new. This is fact. This is what happened in Genesis 6. We know that. If we go to the book of Enoch, with, of course, some people believe that it is a heresy, but we know that that Jude mentioned it. We know that Peter mentioned it. We know that it's in the Bible. Mentioned scripture as quoted. It's quoted in the Bible in the book of Jude. Straight the book of it quotes the book of Enoch. And if we go to the book of Enoch, we know what happened then. There was an invasion, an intervention of these fallen angels on the world and humanity. And anyway, I'm not going to get there because that is another whole new field. But what I'm trying to say is this mark of the beast is intricately connected to the fallen angels, to the hybrids, to the control mechanism, to the deception that is coming, this whole thing is going to be tied together. Because this is what these people have always wanted, to create a super race, a race of Superman, of superior human beings. And the mankind will be told a lie. That is what the Apostle Paul said. They will believe a lie, and that is why they will not receive the truth, and therefore they will believe a lie. So these things are happening even as we speak. Already they're forcing these vaccines. Mm-hmm. I believe the vaccines are extremely dangerous. I mean, I went to college and studied some courses on vaccinations and flus and things. The flu is incredibly unique. It's not like bacteria. Bacteria you can destroy with antibiotics. The flu, a virus, has the ability to get inside a human cell. And if you try to destroy the virus, you destroy the human cell. That's why they cannot conquer cancer. That is why they have not found a cure for AIDS and all these other diseases. Because it would destroy human beings. So anyways, these are things that are happening right now as we speak. They're bringing this thing down now. They're bringing the hammer down. And I encourage the people to please do not be deceived by these things. Pay attention, because you're hearing some things here tonight from some of his brethren and myself that could save your eternal life.
Let me direct this question to you, Rob. Do you remember the movie They Live?
Yeah, very much so.
Well, let me bring this around full circle. Now, some of you guys might have remembered L.A. talking about this. I had brought it to his attention. I know this person directly. Now, I'm going to give a quick headlines on this. This person was in a jewelry store. This person came up. He had like a bronze-like skin. He said, I'm looking for 26 or 27 wisp bands for my Seiko watch, and proceeded to say that because of current events, I've decided to become a human. After different things like that, you can kind of read the whole article. I can post it to a link later. After all that was done, he left, and they didn't even see him leave. Now, what's interesting in the movie, They Live, these guys, if you notice, towards the end of the movie, they had these watches on, and somehow these watches would open up, and they fell through the street. Now, I'm just doing a little conjecture. I'm doing a little bit of, thinking outside the box, but, did this guy have a watch that would get him through time? I don't know. Anything's up anymore. And now, of course, you got the movie They Live. This was back in, 88. What are your thoughts?
It's funny you mentioned They Live, because I was just having a discussion with somebody about They Live just recently. It was a very cheesy movie back then, but Roddy Piper and all that. But I think it's very interesting that in the movie, Roddy Piper's character got the glasses that allowed him to see the truth. He got the glasses from the church.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's where he received the glasses. And when he put the glasses on, he was able to see what's really going on, the people that aren't really people, that some of them are really aliens. And when he looked at billboards and advertisements and whatnot, it said, like, submit and obey and all these different things. So he saw all the subliminal mind control that was being pushed on society by wearing the glasses. And there's an interesting scene in the movie, drove my wife crazy, but it's a scene where Roddy Piper's trying to get his friend to put the glasses on, mm-hmm. and he just refused to, and it's like it gets into this like a 10-minute fight. Literally, it's like this ridiculously long fist fight between these two friends, and my wife is like, this is stupid, this is ridiculous, come on, this is so stupid. I'm like, no, it's not. Look at the allegory. All he wants his friend to do is put the glasses on, mm-hmm. and his friend is refusing to do so, and I'm finding that's very much what we're dealing with. A lot of us are dealing with it as we're seeing these things, as we're praying and as we're seeking and as we're unplugging from the matrix, which I'm convinced that TV is one of the biggest tools of the matrix. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about how TV mm-hmm. works just in general, it literally puts your brain into an alpha state, which is a hypnotic state. It makes you passive and it makes you open to suggestion. And it's timed such that for 7 to 10 minutes, you are being put into an alpha state, a trance. And if you watch people watching TV, you can tell they're in a trance. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of that 7-minute entrainment, they throw a 3 minutes worth of propaganda and advertisement at you just enough to embed some things in your head, but not enough to pull you out of the entrainment. Then they put you back under the hypnosis for another 7 minutes, and they do that five times in an hour-long drama. And the Nielsen report says the average American does that about 4 to 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. So, and all media in this country is owned by 6 corporations, which are owned by Luciferian people. So, you know, it's no wonder we're having such a difficult time trying to reach these people, trying to get them to put the glasses on. I haven't watched TV in forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do watch shows, but we watch them without commercials, and we watch them, you know, like on DVD or online, which I'm sure it's still getting stuff in there, but it's not being combined with the propaganda, and it's not being combined with the completely bought out media news reports, you know, that skew, you know, people are trying to solve a spiritual problem with a political solution. It's not going to work. You know, Ron Paul's not the answer. Rick Perry's not the answer. None of those guys are the answer. If they're in the Matrix, you can't fix the Matrix with the Matrix.
Right.
So, you know, but I do want to address some of the things that have been said already. I was just kind of rapidly taking notes as my brothers were talking, because there's a whole lot of things that were brought out there. You know, I mentioned Obama earlier. I see him sort of as a John the Baptist counterfeit. You know, John the Baptist's job was to prepare the way for the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I believe that a lot of the things that surrounds this particular individual are leading me to believe that he is acting very much as a John the Baptist type character, preparing the way for whatever's coming. And regarding the Mark of the Beast, I do believe it is a DNA modification issue. And it's not reversible. Once you take it, you can't go back. And right. And I agree with what's been said already, but let me just add a little bit to that. I think, you know, the scriptures talk about people who take the mark and who follow the beast. They can't die. You know, the scripture says they beg for death, but death flees from them. So something happens there, and I believe it is a component of that which the Antichrist is made of, because I do believe he's more than just a human. He is a beast. I mean, there are a lot of characters in history that were bad dudes, and we can point to all kinds of tyrants and dictators and stuff throughout history, but as bad as they were, nobody called them a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said, who is like the beast? Who can compare with the beast? You know, who can make war with the beast? And Douglas Hamp is another researcher. He's written some really great stuff dealing with recombinant DNA and how it can work, especially if it's deployed as a virus or a vaccine or even hypothetically nanotechnology launched via microchips. I mean, I believe all that's going to come into play somehow. But regardless of however it's delivered, I believe it will literally rewrite your DNA. It's irreversible. And I believe that in and of itself is a counterfeit of what Paul wrote about concerning how we go from mortal to immortal in what? The twinkling of an eye, 1 Corinthians 15:52. In fact, I was pulling it out while we were talking, I'm just going to read it. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall rise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? If you look at what happens in the end, what happens when the fourth horseman rides? The fourth horse is ridden by death, and Hades follows. Hades is the grave, you know. So when you're looking, I mean, everything that we're talking about regarding the mark of the beast, I see it as a direct and absolute counterfeit of what I just read. This is the godly side of things. This is God's way of how we're going. This mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. The three big promises of Lucifer, the serpent, in Genesis 3, were immortality, knowledge, and becoming like God. And so I don't think it's just a coincidence that Paul uses the phrase in twinkling of an eye when we're talking about things like, oh, I don't know, the eye of Osiris, the back of your dollar bill, the eye of Horus, the eye that's always inside, the pyramid. You know, mm-hmm. as we're talking about Elenin possibly being a pyramid tetrahedron coming, maybe the cap
right.
or the counterfeit of the capstone. That's not a coincidence, okay?
No.
This terminology is in here for a very specific reason, because I believe, and especially in these last days, Daniel says that knowledge shall increase. Well, it's not just knowledge, just 2+2 type stuff. There's a hey in front of the Hebrew word, which means the It's the knowledge shall increase. So I believe as we unplug from the matrix, as we, as in the movie you just mentioned, They Live, as we put the glasses on, or to use more biblical terms, as the veil is removed, we are going to be able to see things a whole lot clearer and be able to see these things for what they really are. And I've come to believe that these so-called space entities, whatever you want to call them, alien grays or whatever, they're going to be responsible for raising the Antichrist, who I believe is indeed a beast, not just a mere human. Now, some of you guys know what my theory is on that. I kind of subscribe to Tom Horn's thesis on it and equate it to the resurrection of Nimrod, who has appeared as many other names and characters throughout history. But he is definitely a hybrid creature. He is somebody that has been worshipped by everybody in the world. You have to ask yourself, why will everybody in the world worship this Antichrist? Well, because they have. At some point in history, all of them have worshipped him. In fact, if you look on the back of your dollar bill, I submit we're still worshipping him. He and his sister, wife, Ishtar Semiramis, it's the unholy trinity there, but they are the basis of Christmas and Easter. Yeshua was not born on December 25th. Mithra was. And so many of these other pagan sun gods. And Easter is totally related to Ishtar. I don't want to get into a big debate on all this, but let me just put something forth here, because if you look at Revelation chapter 9, it begins with talking about the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. Now it says, unto him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And that's what opens up the shaft of the bottomless pit for two things to come out, the locust and the king of the locusts, which is, I believe, Apollo. It's a derivative of Apollyon. Apollo was known as the giver and stayer of plagues, among other things. In all through Scripture, plagues are associated with locusts. So I don't think it's a coincidence that John is writing in a thoroughly indoctrinated Greek God-worshipping society, or John, when he's writing to these people, they understood what he's talking about there, the association of the locust and Apollo. And if Tom Horn's thesis and some of these other guys that I've been reading are true, that Apollo is Nimrod, well, there's some pretty profound implications going on here. But let me just suggest that where it says the fifth angel, John has no problem identifying an angel by its entity, what it is. It's an angel. Fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Is this what Ellen is? Is this something that's coming from heaven? Because when I looked at this terminology in Revelation, I immediately went back to Acts chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. I'm going to read that. It's where Paul is on trial in Ephesus, essentially. They started a riot in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, verses 35 and 36. And the mayor of the city, he decides to quiet down the big mat. Issue that they're having there in Ephesus, riot. He says, at last, the mayor was able to quiet them down enough to speak. He says, citizens of Ephesus, he said, everyone knows that Ephesus is the official guardian of the temple of the great Artemis, whose image, what? Fell down to us from heaven. Since this is an indisputable fact, you shouldn't be disturbed. So this guy, this mayor of Ephesus, as it were, is defending some of the things Paul was saying against Artemis. Well, if you start looking up who Artemis was, she's Ishtar, she's Astarte, she's Venus, she's Isis, she's Diana, she's Semiramis. She's the whore of Babylon, which I believe goes along with some of the things that Jim has written about regarding, I believe it's Zechariah chapter 5 and what's going on there. I believe that definitely is a UFO there. So if we take all these things together, what is it talking about? Revelation is repeatedly making mention of the whore of Babylon, which is exactly what Venus, Isis, Diana, Artemis, Semiramis was. She was a sex goddess, okay? And the word that's used there in Revelation chapter 9 as he is actually a personal pronoun that can be translated as she. It is the word, I just lost it. Unto him, okay. It's Strong's Concordance number 846. The word is otos, which the definition is he, she, it, they, them, same. Now, most of our translations say he, but apparently this Greek word lends itself to being a she just as much as a he. So it appears to have been an assumption by the translators. If the assumption is true that it's a she and not a he, then you've got the two characters right there. You've got Ishtar falling from heaven again, possibly coming out of maybe, oh, I don't know, Elenin, with the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit to release her brother slash husband. And I'll just take it a step farther. Is it just a coincidence that on the TV series V, there was Anna, the queen of heaven, who was the leader of the aliens? You know, are these things just coincidence? I don't know. I don't think so. It just makes you think. I'm just kind of putting this stuff out there. And I also agree that the whole world economy is supposed to collapse so that a one world currency can arise. And I don't think it's a coincidence that in Revelation chapter 6, it's referred to as the denarius, which is the Iraqi currency, which is the home of Babylon, where both the whore and Nimrod come from. So, you know, when I put all these things together, I really believe we are totally in the final seconds of the last days. And whether I'm right or not, everything's adding up to some pretty significant things about to happen. And what really frustrates me is in the movie They Live, he goes to the church to get the glasses. But today, the church isn't even talking about this stuff. In fact, they're ridiculing people who are. They're blasting the watchmen are out there that are trying to put these things together. You know, we're all just struggling to fit the pieces together as best we can from our research. But at least we're looking. At least we're putting the glasses on. It's a reversal of the movie that we got the glasses on and the church is fighting us, you know, in a ridiculously long fist fight, refusing to look through the glasses. So I believe what Jim said is true, that there's going to come a time when people are going to be looking for answers and there's going to be very few of choices for them to go to find the answers.
Well, you know, and one of the things I want to mention, don't take this as gospel truth. This is just something inside of me. I'm 40 years old now, and when I was in third grade, I've always felt this ever since back then, that I would never see 50 years old. Now, don't take that as gospel truth, but I don't know. I mean, here I'm 40 years old. I don't think we're going to see – I don't know. We could see 10 more years. We could see much more. I don't know. All I know is that things are happening so fast that you can't keep up with it. What do you think, Jim?
Well, you know, to put all of this, what we've talked about, because it's all interesting, and like Augusto says, I totally agree that the collapse of the economy is essential. The other thing is if you have a great medical need, I mean, for one thing, if your economy's gone, your healthcare is gone too. You want to see good, honest people go crazy real quick.
Yep.
Turn the lights out. Shut the computers off. All of a sudden, you have no access to money. You have no access to food. And you have no access to medication, especially if you have children or a wife or somebody that needs regular medication to sustain their lives. You're going to go bonkers. Well, not everybody. Those that trust the Lord will believe for miracles. But those that can't believe in miracles, the burden's on their shoulders. They're going to have to do something. So this is the kind of world that's going to be created before they come. But here's the thing that we really need to understand. They are going to come. And like Rob says, this star that comes from heaven – you know, where is that star coming from? Well, from out in space, and it's going to have some kind of impact or some kind of influence on the Earth. Well, what's incredible is when the Genesis 6 Nephilim were sentenced, most of Christianity and Christians, even I think a lot of investigators, don't understand that where it says in Peter 2:4, it says, "For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." I think most of us get this image of these fallen angels shackled to a bottomless pit waiting for the white throne judgment. You can't go by a surface running. You go back to the Greek and you look at all the different words there. Chains of darkness. The darkness means a wraparound covering like a ghost is what Dr. Strong says in the Strong's Concordance. He says, i.e., it's example, it's a ghost. It's a disembodied spirit. Well, how are you going to chain a disembodied spirit? You can't. So look at the word chains. It means shackle in the most general sense. But you know what it also means? A cycle of going up and down. Now, when we observe demons, what do we see? We see that through exercising or entertaining various occult practices, even a Ouija board by Parker Brothers has no, ancient encrypted thing. I could use a pencil and start spinning it and say, okay, if it goes to the left, it means one thing. If it goes to the right, it means something else. That's the occult. I'm trying to obtain knowledge, wisdom, or understanding other than the ways that God has told us to. He's supposed to be our source. So what this does is it creates a portal. It creates an opening where these entities can come into our homes. They can come into even our very minds and take over or occupy. We see that during demonic activity, they have an ability to play influence on electricity, turning lights on and off, TVs, talking through white noise, you know, all these different anomalous, you know, kinds of things. I dealt with deliverance and that kind of stuff for over 30 some years, so I'm kind of familiar with these things. But so the chains, first off, they're disembodied spirits. They're in a chain, but they're in a chain of going up and down. There's many other scriptures we can't really get into here, but the chains, and something is restricting them. What is restricting them is the electromagnetic forces on this earth, and I'll show you a scripture that can show this. But they're being reserved unto judgment. What judgment? Their own judgment. They have a destiny and a judgment. The word reserved there doesn't mean that they're being held from escaping. They're being held for fulfillment of prophecy, for some other purpose and reason. So they're stuck in this chain of going up and down. Electromagnetic forces has an influence, and it's keeping them in this pit. Now, we go to Isaiah 24, beginning at 20. Just prior to 20, it's talking about a great earthquake. Then it says, the earth reels to and fro like a drunkard, and it totters like a shack. Then it goes, so it will happen in that day. Now, we're talking about right after the flood. Right after the flood, and the next three verses will tell us what goes on. It says, the Lord shall punish the host of heaven on high, and the kings of the earth. Now, it could be debatable. Some people would say, well, who's the host on heaven on high? Who are the kings of the earth? The next verse tells us completely exactly who they are. They will be gathered together like prisoners in the dungeon and will be confined in prison. And after many days, they will be visited. The word visited there is pivotal. That is probably the most important word that links it to another scripture in Isaiah 26:13, where it's talking about, oh Lord, our God, we others have been, now it doesn't say married, but actually it could be married unto thee. It uses a word that refers to the authority that a husband has over the wife. So the idea is, others have been married unto us, but by thee only will we mention your name. And then it says, they are dead, they shall not live, meaning death as opposed to being alive. Then what seems like a redundant statement, it says, they are deceased, they shall not rise. Now, a lot of people, see, that means, well, you know, I know what you're trying to say. That's the Nephilim, because the word dead means, or deceased means ghosts or dead ones, the ghosts of the giants. And they're not going to raise. So see, they're not coming back. No, because the very next scripture says, and the very next scripture says that, and I forget it. Oh, that's terrible. I hate the senior moments. You are dead. You shall not rise. You are deceased. You cease. It says that they will be, but he has visited you. I'm sorry. That's it. But he has visited you and will destroy you and make even your name not to be remembered. Now, the word visited there is pivotal. What does that word mean in the Hebrew? The Hebrew, it means two things. It means to be mustered up as an army, and it means to supernaturally intervene in the natural courses of events. So what was said up above that scripture, you are dead, you shall not rise, you are deceased, you shall not rise, that's their natural predicament. But somebody is visiting them to supersede and overrule that. Sarah was visited by an angel well past her childbirth and was given the ability to have a child. So the same word here is meaning two different things. It's meaning that they're going to intervene on that. So in other words, you are going to rise, but you're going to rise to your total destruction so that even your name is forgotten. Jesus, when he first, after the resurrection, he didn't go into heaven right away. He first descended into the bowels of the earth. He proclaimed something to the angels of sin. Ooh, that's right. The same group, the ones that are here. So what caused them to be stuck in this predicament at the end of days is going to be the same things that are going to release them. When we see the locusts of Joel's second chapter, Revelations 9, ascending out of the bottomless pit, this star comes. And what happens? An earthquake. What next? An axis shift. What next? The release of this horde demonic horde. Now, they're not coming back as invisible spirits. They're coming back flesh and bone right in your face. How are they going to come? You look at the 8 points of a locust description, and it let the Bible interpret itself by itself. It's not a genetically enhanced insect of any kind or anything. They have the hair of a woman. They have the crowns of a warrior. They have faces of men. The hair of the woman, they're going to be very appealing. They're going to be very attractive looking. They're going to look like famous warriors and heroes. Ooh, what does that sound? Rob, you just told us that, didn't you?
Yep.
All
exactly.
These famous heroes and warriors, they're coming back. But at the same time, we're getting a cross theme that these famous heroes and warriors are playing the role as angels. We're getting the theme that, gee, the Nordic type angels are the good guys, and they're coming back to save us. And they're the ones that play the role of angels. So they're all three in the same. They're all the good guys. This is exactly what we're being told is ascending out of the bottomless pit. When they fall upon a sword, they're not even wounded, is what it says in Joel. They have breastplates of iron. So what we're seeing here is something that is very supernatural. So the Antichrist being resurrected from someone who has already been alive before, I think, he's a beast now. He's the man of sin, the son of perdition. Man of sin means he's his very nature is outside of the context of God. Well, my Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This person who was the beast that was, isn't, and yet is, clearly tells you that this is a first-person singular noun used as this person. It's not an ecclesiastical organization. It's not an empire. We're talking about an individual person who was alive, is dead, and comes back out of a bottomless pit, and is of the seven, but is now the eighth. He's, in other words, a leader of one of seven prior empires. He comes back to lead the final eighth empire. Not good news for mankind. So he's the firstborn of his brethren, as Jesus is the firstborn of our brothers. So whatever technology is used to repair and restore these disembodied spirits, the remains of the Nephilim, because we have two scriptures that show that man and fallen angel are working in unison to create this Frankenstein monster and resurrect them. But I think the same thing is going to be offered to unsaved people that reject Christ. In Daniel 2:43, they shall mingle their seed with men, but they shall not cleave with one another, even as iron doesn't mix with clay. The cleave there is in reference not to that it's not a successful event. That's kind of illogical. If you have something that's going to fail, why are you mentioning it as being an activity in the last beast empire that is so dangerous that it necessitates the Lord to come back to shorten those days? Well, obviously there is something that is successful. What happens, the word there means the same word used in Genesis 3rd chapter, where it says that a man shall leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife, wherefore they are no longer two flesh but one. It's talking about marriage. This time is going to be clinical, outside of the marriage process, outside of normal sex. It's going to be something done through controlled genetics. Then we go back to Job 26:6, and we see that dead things are formed in the sea, meaning abyss, and the inhabitants thereof. Hell has no covering. So in that whole context, dead things are formed. Dead. Rapha, the same. The undead, the dead ones that are back alive. The word are formed means to be restored, to be repaired, to be brought back to health. So these are the same ones that Jude was warning about. They were twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What's plucked up by the roots? Genetic manipulation. And they were twice dead. Oh, gee, well, yeah, they were already dead before, and they're dead spiritually. Now they're back alive. They're wandering stars, whom's reserved everlasting darkness. They're clouds without water. These are three definitions for fallen angels. And they're in our midst like spots in the feast of our charity, speaking evil of dignitaries. You know, this isn't science fiction. This is why the name of my book is Beyond Science Fiction, because the truth, believe me, is such a mind blower. It's just too much for most people to even take. And unfortunately, like you guys were talking, like, you know, they don't want to put the glasses on. It's there. It's in the scriptures. I just quoted all of them. I'm doing justice in proper biblical interpretation. That's what the word says. I didn't make it up.
Jim, can I ask you something?
Sure.
We always use the scripture where Jesus, Yeshua says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we look to the days of Noah and try to see what's going on in our day. But I would like to submit that the reverse would also have to be true. In other words, we look at the scriptures and say, okay, what's going on in our day that was like the days of Noah? But I would say that we could look at our day and speculate what was going on in the days of Noah. Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah.
That being the case, I've begun to see some possible evidence to support some of these theories that I'm having. My wife had gotten me a book from Oxford Press, Oxford World Classics, called Myths from Mesopotamia. And it talks about a certain group of the Anunnaki who left the earth just prior to the judgment of the flood. Now, we're arguing from biblical science silence here because it says everything that was on the earth was killed. Okay, but if we have achieved space travel in our day, and we can use the same logic that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in our day, in reverse, then is it possible that some of these guys escaped into space, just like we're leaving and going into space these days, and maybe making a return? What do you think about that?
Well, it's
the same would be true of time travel, by the
right.
way.
Well, it's interesting that there is something on Mars, and now I'm beginning to think more and more there might be something on the moon too. But Mars, my friend Dave Flynn wrote the book Cydona, Secret Chronicles of Mars, and he presents a good case for the fact that that might have been a literal physical outpost for the fallen angels during the Genesis 6 incursion. But see, there again, we have a problem being that most Christians do not understand that angels are physical and tangible beings. I know the Bible says that they're ministering spirits, but you know that the Bible calls us souls? Mm-hmm. 8 souls were saved by water. That's what it says in 2 Peter. So, but we're more than a soul. We have a body that carries around that soul. But our soul in this fallen world is our primary mode of operation. It's what we use as our foremost operating system. We have a body and a spirit that needs to be renewed, but we have 3 dimensions to us, to ourselves. So when they are called spirits, it's mainly just because the idea that the spirit is the primary operating system for the entities that exist in heaven with God. How do I know they're physical? All the evidence all throughout the scriptures. Jacob wrestling with them fighting against each other and resisting each other, where Daniel was praying and the angel said that he was delayed and by the prince of Persia. Michael had to come and help him out. There was a war in heaven. Satan and his angels fought the devil and his or Michael and his angels fought the devil and his angels. The devil prevailed not, was cast into the earth. They cast into the earth literally means on dry land amongst men. The clincher, though, is this. We're told that the children of Israel wandering through the desert ate manna. And then in Psalms, we're told that manna is angel food, the corn from heaven. Now, if angels can eat food, gee whiz, I guess they get substance, don't they? They're flesh and bone. There's both celestial bodies, Paul said, and terrestrial bodies. One is one type of glory, one is another type. So they're physical entities. So I have no problem with the idea that the stones of fire that they were able to walk in the midst of is the second heaven. And the other thing, you mentioned time. Now, you know, I'm one that's got quite a bit of biblical information about time.
That's right.
There's 2 missing elements to the end time scenario. The earth is hollow. It's real. It's literal. It's physical. There is a real hollow earth. I'm not an astrophysicist or a geophysicist. I can't explain to you scientifically how it does, but I can show you biblically how it does exist. Because my word says it in chapter, text, and verse. There's many cross-reference scriptures. The earth is really, literally hollow with openings at the poles that are covered over from the floodwaters that we call the polar caps. One's going to be broken into. That goes into, you know, a whole different area. But I mean, these things are very real. And time travel is already an addressed issue. In 2 Samuel 22nd chapter, it's where it talks about he bowed the heavens and came down. You look in and you can do this yourself if you know how to use reference materials. You look in the Hebrew in all of those words in that, and spend some time. You know, to real serious study isn't just taking a quick overview of the scriptures. It's knowing how to dig back into the original languages and spend some time really looking at it, every word. When you do, that text of scripture is actually talking about bending space, traveling through a wormhole to get from the third heaven into our fallen dimension. There's other scriptures. The Antichrist would determine to change times and seasons. or times and laws. When you go back and look at the word for time, Daniel uses the same thing, singing the praises of God, saying that he's the one that sets up some and brings down others. He's the one that arranges times and seasons. The word that is used, one is meaning a cyclic pattern of events like seasons. The other word, the same word that's used in reference to the Antichrist, is that it's altered, fixed, and appointed times. And in context, we're told that the Antichrist will have a hope or a desire to break a natural law and alter fixed appointed times. And then the rest of the scripture says, and it will be given unto him for a times, times, and a dividing of time. Time, times, and dividing of time, past, present, future. And what would happen when, and all of these things, Daniel, will be known when the knowledge will increase and people will travel to and fro. That travel to and fro has a whole lot of different meaning.
Indeed.
And we're on the eve of these things already being in existence. The two lies, well, naturally, one has a and B to it. The two lies, you should surely not die. Cloning offers that scientific, artificial, satanic, phony replica of eternal salvation. So you have cloning. And then what kind of technology could make one think that they could be all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present, the ability to manipulate time? Those two things, in the name of science and technology, may be some of the other benefits, along with being provided with pure, you know, perfect health and a perfect body, in whatever form, you know, whether it be an actual chip that is, enhances or alters the DNA, whether it be an injection. We're not there yet. Or could it be an actual avatar, a hollow body that your consciousness is transferred into? We're going to have to wait and see. We're not there yet. History hasn't been written, and I don't think that the Lord is giving us all that detailed information. He's throwing out enough of the seeded thoughts, the general ideas, and then we'll just have to wait and see how it manifests out. But, you know, these things are going to happen not so obvious as people think. It's going to happen quite differently. And I think the Lord does it that way on purpose so that we don't put our faith and trust on assumed events. We have to have our faith on walking in the power and might of God's Spirit today in obedience. If we're doing that, all these other things are going to take care of themselves. And a truly smart person will consider all viable options. Now, Rob, you and I have totally different ideas about the identity of the Antichrist. And you know what? To me, it doesn't matter. Let's identify the spirit of the Antichrist. And when he raises his nasty little head, whether it be Nimrod or Hitler or whatever, we're going to know him when we need to know him. And we're going to know him because we know the real thing better than anything else.
Gentlemen, we have about 15 minutes left. One of the things I had looked up, NASA announces forbidden zones on the moon. Has anybody heard about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been reading. Yep. I've ignored it for a long time, but I've been reading more and more about that stuff.
And then also, Rob, it also begs the question with the movie that came out quite a few years ago, Stargate.
Yes. Well, I believe when we look at the days of Noah, we have to remember that he lived 950 years. Most people just think, oh, Noah, the ark. But you forget there's 600 years before that, 350 years after that. You've got a whole lot of stuff going on with watchers landing on Mount Hermon in the days of Jared and all that before the flood. And then after the flood, you got this peculiar thing called the Tower of Babel, which was, first of all, built in a plane. So clearly nobody was concerned about height. It's not a height issue. It says that they might reach into heaven, and I believe that is a Stargate. I believe that movies like Stargate, in fact, they had a lot of military and government consultation on that movie as well as TV series. So I believe there's definitely some truth to that, and I believe that that shows indeed that we are as it was in the days of Noah, the 350 years after the flood part, with regard to things like, CERN.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, that I totally believe is another Babel Stargate portal opening device. And stuff's going to come through it. And in fact, I wouldn't be surprised if all these so-called spirals that we've been seeing, like the Norway spiral, are not portals opening up and bringing stuff in from the other world.
Hey, if I can say something.
Sure.
I've been listening to this very interesting information that's been shared. Concerning this Elenin, back to Elenin again, I was watching on the JPL site a few days ago, and they happen to have a as part of the designation given to the Comet Alenine, you know, they have this thing there called automatic. And when I started looking into that thing, it's actually a game that came out in 2001. Actually, it came out on 9/11 2001. And this particular game, it has a picture of a spacecraft in the background, and it's beaming up people with the aliens off the off the planet.
Hmm.
Why? The question I have about that is, why is this message hidden in NASA's website concerning LNE?
Mm-hmm.
This is tied into LNE. And are they expecting this thing, you know, to be on board? I mean, the more I look at this thing, the more I am really getting this feeling that we are being set up for a whammy here, a big deception. And when people begin, you know, my wife, she's never given to dreams and visions, you know. God has given me the more the dreams and the visions. She's just, you know, she goes to work, does her thing, she intercedes, and she's had two very powerful, significant dreams just in this last few weeks. And the last one she had, she saw this object coming in the sky, and then all of a sudden she saw a huge spaceship settle right over, the city. And I asked her, I said, how big was it? And she said, I couldn't see the end of it. The more I think about this thing and the more I pray about this, I get the distinct feeling in my spirit that we are in for a big delusion, a big deception. Mm-hmm. It's around the corner. I mean, Werner von Braun, he was interrogated, you know, when he was working for NASA. And he was asked, basically, and he said it with his own mouth. He said the last deception and the last, thing that they're going to come out with is going to be an alien invasion, an alien, you know, coming from the sky. And this is going to be the final piece to bring in, you know, whatever they're going to bring in. And the New World Order, we know what that is. And so, you know, this whole thing that we are seeing, that your reports that we are hearing, the collider, you know, they are desperately trying to shake open the gates of hell. Jesus talked about the gates of hell, and the gates of hell are real. They are real. They're not mystical things, you know, in somewhere up in the sky in the stratosphere. They are real, and they're right here on the earth. And I believe that they have been sealed. I believe they have been sealed by the Almighty so that there is no interference from them with the human beings on the earth. We have been protected all these times. I believe those angels that are bound, like Jim was explaining so eloquently, I believe that these are unruly fallen angels that would not submit to the authority of the Lord, and they had to be restrained. They had to be put into a position where they could not do harm. They could not interfere because they would not submit to the laws of the Creator, and so all these entities. What these people are trying to do is release them. These entities are going to be released, and it is going to be hell on earth. And right. Together with the collider, with the doing the their thing. Together with the magnetic field around the Earth, the magnetosphere is about to collapse. All it takes is a good hit from a solar flare. That's all it takes, a good hit. And we have been spared a lot of these solar flares, thank God, because the sun is quite busy shooting off solar flares off in the opposite direction, basically. I believe it's shooting the solar flares in reaction to this object that is coming behind it from the south. So we have been spared all this mess. But as this situation changes and the Earth begins to get from around the sun has actually been protecting us. As the Earth gets around the sun, around the orbit, we are going to come much closer to this object. And if we get between this object and the sun, we are going to be hit by a big solar flare, and there goes the magnetosphere. I mean, that's the only protection we have. I also happen to believe, and I can't explain it, I don't have the scientific explanation to explain this, but I have a feeling, I believe in my spirit, that when the magnetosphere goes, that will be also a way that many of these entities are going to gain entrance into our realm. You know, the first heaven, of course, you know, we know it's from the magnetosphere down. And the second heaven is from the magnetosphere out, the galaxies and the planets we see. So all of these things are going to work together, I believe, to facilitate the manifestation of all these entities. But I want to close with this, if I may. There is a scripture that... it has really been dancing in my spirit, has been really been heavy on me, and is in Romans 8:19, and also another one in Revelations chapter 12. And in Romans 8:19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is, the redemption of our body." And something that we haven't touched on, and I don't even know if we have time to get into, because we only have like less than 10 minutes.
Well, go ahead, Augusto. Take your time. Go ahead.
It's in Revelation 12, and I want to get the opinion of these two brethren, because this has really been very heavy on me, and I have done some research on it. I want to throw it out there. In Revelation chapter 12, it says that there appear a great sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon their heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman and was ready, who was ready to be delivered, to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a male child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought on his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I'm going to stop there. The rest of the chapter is very interesting, too, but I'm going to stop there, because the point I want to make is basically in those scriptures. I have always believed, and I still do, that this had to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And you know, the fact that he was Herod attempted to kill him, and so forth and so on. We all know the story, so I'm not going to rehearse that. But something happened to me last year, in the last 12 months, that I saw that video, the Star of Bethlehem, and I don't know if you, the rest of you have seen it, but yes. When I saw that video, it gave me a different perspective that I had never seen before, which basically had to do with the fact that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, was born on, I believe it was 3 B.C., around the time of Rosh Hashanah back then. And he mentions in that video the fact that when you looked up into the heavens, you saw the constellation Virgo, and he had 12 stars over her head, and the moon was under her feet, and Venus was also in her womb. And that just blew me away, because I had never seen that scripture from that angle. My friend, who is an amateur astronomer, you know, he has softwares and telescopes and everything, I started talking to him, and revelation began to flow. And I told him, I said, why don't we research this Rosh Hashanah? Because on this Rosh Hashanah, there's all kinds of talk about, you know, Elenin coming in and all kinds of stuff, all the other three comets. There's three comets coming, Honda, Levi, and now there's a 2005 YU-55. All kinds of stuff is happening. So I said, could you look at it and tell me what is the position in the heavens on Rosh Hashanah this year, 2011? And he, you know, he did his calculations and used his software. And when he came back to me, he said, you're not going to believe this. And I said, what? He said, on Rosh Hashanah of this year, we're going to have Virgo is going to be in the heavens. She has the 12 stars around her head. She's clothed with the sun. Also, the moon is going to be right under her feet. And also, Venus is going to be in her womb, along with Saturn. And I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, that is a fact. Then I asked him again. I said, do another research and find out for the next few years if this is going to happen again. We're going to have the same thing around Rosh Hashanah. So he did that, and he came back to me. He said, it is not going to happen again, Brother Augusto, for a long, long time. I think he mentioned like 2040-something. I don't remember the exact day, 2045 or 46. And he said, it's not going to happen again until then, the same configuration. So I have been under a really heavy, heavy, heavy burden from the Lord about this. I'm not saying this is the rapture, okay? But I do believe that, I don't know why, and I want to throw it out there to both of you guys and see what you say. I do believe that along with this false manifestation of devils and, you know, the Antichrist and UFOs, I also believe there's going to be a manifestation of something's going to happen to Christians down here on earth. We're going to see something glorious happen to us like we've never seen before, according to scriptures, Isaiah 60 and so many others. You know, when darkness comes, glory's going to appear on the children of God. And I don't know what it is, but something is about to be birthed in the kingdom of God. And I'm not saying it's the rapture, and I don't know when the rapture's going to be, but something's going to happen. It's fixing to happen, along with all the bad stuff. And so I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I mean, I know it's kind of crazy. It's way out there, but it's good food to chew on.
You know, it's said that there will be an early and a latter rain. The early rain was the day of Pentecost, the initial outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. I truly believe the latter rain, and the latter is going to be greater. That which is first is last. That which is last is first. This is going to be an outpouring of and a manifestation of God's Spirit. It may be just because of a brokenness, because the world's going to get so nasty and so not just spiritually, but I mean physically, you know, with the earthquakes and all the other upheavals. Maybe what Elanon is going to do is going to cause a true repentance of the church. They're going to wake out of their sleep and not be in this catatonic state. They're going to accept and believe and receive the fullness of the power of God, not only like it was in the day of Pentecost, but even more so, because the last is going to be first. We're going to be the latter rain, and the latter rain is what brings forth the harvest. So, yeah, I agree with you, brother, that this is going to, it's going to be big. I mean, when the enemy comes in like a flood, what the rest of the scripture goes, that the Lord will raise up a banner against it.
Amen.
Well, and later on you read in Isaiah, what's that banner? It's you. It's me. It's his church. They're going to see the hope of glory in Christ through us. We're going to be reflecting the promises, the hope, the power and might of God's Spirit. No longer are we going to be just giving a message on an intellectual basis. We're going to literally be walking in the power and might of God's Spirit, displaying. It's kind of tit for tat. As the enemy's plan is coming to fruition, God is going to empower his people to not only say things that are maybe profound and wise and deeply true, but they're going to back it up with the power and might of supernatural signs and wonders that they themselves, the Holy Spirit will work through them as a vessel. The things that we read about in the book of Acts will come back again for all of us to experience. And I really believe it's going to happen partially because we're going to be going through a refiner's fire. We're going to be purged from all the junk and garbage. We're going to cast down all the little skeletons in our closet. We're going to come to a total place of holiness where we can be that clean vessel to exercise and use that. Now, I'm not saying that as a prerequisite because the gifts are free. I mean, you know, sometimes if God can use a donkey to talk to a prophet, well, then, you know, he can use any of us. He's going to use us. But I think the desire in our hearts is to be totally right with God. Doesn't mean that we're literally going to be, but our desire is to be that way. Kind of like the problem King David had. So I think you're totally right.
What do you think, Rob?
Yeah, I agree with Jim's answer completely with one possible caveat. I don't believe it's going to happen to just every believer on the planet. I believe it's going to happen to those who are obedient, who are searching, who are seeking, praying, and fasting for it.
Right. Yep.
Because if you look at the Acts account, you know, Jesus very specifically told those disciples, you know, hang out and pray till the Holy Spirit comes. And they had a job to do there for that 10 days or whatever it was from the time that Yeshua ascended until the Holy Spirit descended. And so I believe that's part of the reason for Elijah coming first. Because if you look in the Old Testament, Elijah's job was to take a stand in Israel and say, look, you can't serve Baal and Yahweh at the same time. You're going to have to make a choice. Choose now who you're going to serve. And I really believe that a lot of Christianity is serving a form of Baal. And until they figure that out and pray and fast and get on God's page, I don't believe that he's just going to pour out gifts on everybody. I think it'll be for the obedient and for the seeking, searching, praying, and fasting.
Absolutely.
Amen. That's exactly the way I see it. That's exactly because, you know, when I saw that, I also saw the other couple of scriptures. I think it is in Revelation where, you know, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, promises the overcomers. He promises the overcomers, you know, that they will rule with him and sit with him in thrones, you know, and that they will rule with a rod of iron. So the rod of iron is not just him, it's also for the overcoming believers, they that overcome. And then he talks to the churches and gives them seven messages to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes, to him who overcomes. So, yeah, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.
Well, gentlemen, do you have anything else that God has on your heart?
I'm just thankful for everyone on this phone call and others who are not on this phone call who are taking a beating for what they're standing for. And persevering, nonetheless, with the convictions that God is giving each of you. I consider it an honor and a privilege, and I'm just thankful to be able to stand alongside gentlemen like yourself.
You know, one closing thing I have thought is that the most convincing, compelling thing to me, when I keep saying, is this really it? Could this really be around the corner? Is something going to happen? And I got to confess, I'm still interested to see what kind of conversation I'm going to have in December. My gut says, yes, there's something really big there, but I'm still struggling with the fact that I've gone through this Chicken Little thing with 1987 Jupiter effect, with Y2K, you know, it's been time and time again. So I have that certain restraint, but you know, the biggest compelling sign to me that maybe this really is it. I have seen how many of my colleagues and myself, and many that have been called to be aware of these things, we have been attacked in this last year like I have never seen anyone ever get attacked. We tried to come in unity, and we become more scattered than ever before. Mm-hmm. I just see Satan working overtime on all of us to try to beat us down. And to me, that's the biggest sign right there. Do you think that's a fair assessment? Have you had a rougher year this last year than maybe
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, it just seems like he's breathing down the necks of the of the servants of God now, and to confirm what you said, Jim, is you know, in Y2K and all these other events when they came, I never had a dream from God like that. I never had visions like I've had. I've been having tons of them. People that never had dreams and visions are having them. Warnings are, I mean, are going through the roof. And things are happening in the natural now that never happened before. On top of all that, we have an event that is coming. It's bringing down our necks. It's causing all ruckus. We see even the government reacting. We've never seen NASA put out warnings like they have.
Right.
We never, you know, all these things are just dovetailing, coming together and reaching a crescendo that I think, I agree totally with you. I think we're right on the threshold of something big, and this time it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. You know, gentlemen, with all this stuff we talked about, there's got to be somebody out there that is not saved, does not understand what's going on, probably is in fear. Rob, could you do a salvation call for those who do not know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior?
Sure, absolutely, because you want to be on the winning team in this this battle for sure, and we know from scriptures who that who the winner is, and it's Yeshua, Jesus Christ. It's our He's our Lord and Savior, and thankfully He's done all the hard work. He's done it all. It's so simple. If you want to receive salvation, all you have to do is receive it. He's offered it. He's paid for it, and it's as simple as acknowledging that you're a sinner. And these words that I'm about to say are not important. It's not what Rob says. It's the attitude of your heart. But it's saying, Lord, forgive me. I know that I am a sinner. I know that I could never measure up to the standard of heaven. And, Lord, I acknowledge my sin. I ask you to forgive me. I thank you that you paid the price for my sins on the cross. I accept that sacrifice, that gift of salvation that you have freely offered to me. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
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 Gentlemen, anything else that you would like to share?
Well, I guess another telltale sign, I was going to mention this, and I want to throw this out there because both Jim and Rom, I mean, they have mentioned many of these things. On 11-11-11 of this year, how many of you guys have been seeing the number 11-11? Well, on 11-11-11 this year, there is a movie going, you know, it's coming out in the theaters. And it's called The Immortals.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the opening of a gateway. And something's coming through it. That's how they, you know, that's the preview. So there is another telltale sign right there.
Yep, in your face.
All these things.
Okay. Well, the websites are theappearance.com, Augusto Perez. Rob Skiba is seedtheseries.com, Jim Williamson, echoesofenoch.com. Now, Rob, I wanted to throw a little teaser out for people because I like to have you on probably next month sometime. Do you want to just give a little teaser on the Iraqi dinar?
Well, I can give a link. That's a pretty link. That's a lengthy conversation.
Sure.
But you could go to seedtheseries.com/blog, and when you go there, you'll see a menu. Click on the link that says the Omega Plan ? And, you know, I'm not stating anything definitively. I'm just observing some things that are out there and putting forth a theory. So people are willing to take it for whatever it's worth. But all that information is up there on my blog site.
Well, when I have you on, I want to have you talk about that. And also talk about some different things you've been finding in the Bible with the Hebrew meaning in the background.
Oh, sure.
So, well, with that, gentlemen, thank you for this great conference call.
Yeah, thank you, Barry.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Well, hold on for a second. Sure, hold on for a second. Well, for the listener, thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for more shows that are coming up. We're believing that the Holy Spirit is going to bring more people on because we are dedicated to let the Holy Spirit come through End Time Talk Radio to minister to your hearts because, you know, we're not dogging a church, but we're not seeing it happen a lot there. But we're out bringing people on that really want to minister the Word of God to you and through whatever that shall be. And so we thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.